Good morning. I'll read it beginning at verse 1. God's promise of forgiveness. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. So many gathered there, and there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing him a paralytic, carried by four of them. And since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus, and after digging through it, lowered the mat the paralyzed man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now, some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this is what they were thinking in their hearts, and he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat, and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." He said to the paralytic, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and walk out, and go home." Sorry, apologies. He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let's pray, shall we? Lord, may you give us open hearts and minds to hear from you this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Well, here we are in the season of Lent. And I wonder what images that phrase, season of Lent, conjures up for you. As we've already heard, traditionally it's a penitential season where we lay our lives open to God's searching gaze through prayer, penance, repentance, almsgiving and self-denial, where we remove flowers from our churches and where statues and crosses in some churches are covenants between us and God. We come open and lay our lives bare before him. Fasting or giving up certain types of luxuries as a form of penitence. So it's good that today we're thinking about God's promise to forgive us. Well, as we've just heard in Mark's gospel, we find Jesus, having been going around preaching and healing in the surrounding villages, returning home to Capernaum. And he's hoping to relax in Simon Peter's home, his sort of adopted one, or some commentators think it might actually have been Jesus' own house. But the irresistible drawing power of Jesus is here. The news has got out and crowds fill the house and spill out over sides, wanting to know about this person who can do such amazing things. You can just imagine it, can't you? They're noisy, they're restless, craning their necks, not wanting to miss a thing. But each comes with their own agenda. Curious, genuine seekers of truth, those who want to see a miracle, the sick, the devout, the legalistic who wait to trip him up, and skeptics. And of course, what does Jesus do? But he picks his way through and sits down in the center. And when he speaks, there's intent listening and words of grace reach them all. And outside, people strain to hear and pass it on to their neighbors. But a short distance away, there are some men struggling to fix ropes to the corners of a bed where their paralyzed friend is lying. This is a chance in a lifetime. We can't let this opportunity slip through our fingers. We'll carry you. And of course, they arrive and they can't get through, but they're not daunted, so they take the stairs leading to the roof. and refusing to let any obstacle come between their friend and Jesus, they make a hole to let him through. Well, the listeners below must have been a bit distracted by the noise and the debris falling around them. You can just imagine the dust and mud and bits of branches. And the man's lowered down. People make room for him, and he finds himself looking up into the face of Jesus. "Son, your sins are forgiven." The teachers of the law take a swift intake of breath. Only God can forgive sins. And Jesus immediately perceives their reaction and asserts that he is the Son of Man, a figure from Daniel chapter 7. The representative of God's faithful people opposed to evil powers, but whom God rescued, vindicated, and gave authority to demonstrate that the Son of Man has authority to forgive sins. Jesus said, "Get up, take your mat, and go home." Did you notice that instead of immediately healing the man, Jesus tells him that his sins are forgiven? Jesus sees only too well that his sickness isn't only physical, but it's also spiritual. As well as healing, the man needs to know God's forgiveness. We also need to know that God promises to forgive us when we repent by confessing our sins. Something we do when we meet together, but I hope also something that we do in our own daily prayer times. And repentance is not only about acknowledging where we've fallen short of God's way, but also a turning around, a going in the opposite direction. Repentance then requires us to change. But why does God forgive us? Because he loves us. And when he forgives, he also forgets. It's a bit like he presses the delete button. For as Isaiah 43 verse 25 reminds us, God says, "I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and remembers your sins no more." You see, when God makes a promise to forgive sin against him, he is faithful to forgive. The promise in Isaiah to forgive didn't remove the consequences of the Israelites' sin, because God still allowed them to experience captivity by their enemies, the Babylonians, and God had warned them about it, but still they ignored his warning and continued to sin against him. Yet consequences for sin don't change the promise that God forgives sins. David also knew the promise of forgiveness from God, and David is described as a man after God's own heart. You can read about that in 1 Samuel 13 and Acts 13. And yet David sinned against God, and you can read about that in 2 Samuel chapter 11. However, in Psalm 103, David records God's promise of forgiveness towards sin. He writes, "He," meaning God, "forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." But wonderfully, God's promise to forgive extends to all people, not just the Israelites and David. Through the Apostle John, God shares the truth that Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection provide God's forgiveness and cleansing of all sin. People who claim they have no sin are only fooling themselves and are not living in the truth. God promises to forgive sin through confession of that sin to him. As John writes in his first letter, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. Similarly, the writer of the Hebrews declares that God himself, meaning Jesus, is the final sacrifice for sins, once and for all. And there's no need to offer any more sacrifices to obtain forgiveness of sins. And you can read about this in Hebrews chapter 10. God promises his forgiveness. He says, "Their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more." And the Apostle Paul teaches the believers in Jesus that God is rich in kindness towards them because of his promise of forgiveness through Jesus. He writes to the Colossians, "For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." Forgiveness, then, is a promise from God that we receive through faith in Jesus. And God's promise of forgiveness is continuous towards us. It provides freedom for us to embrace life God intended for us to live. God's consistent forgiveness of our sin doesn't negate the reality of our sin, but rather magnifies our awareness of our need for God's promise of forgiveness. So forgiveness is a promise for us to experience from God. But forgiveness is also a process for us to extend towards others. We sin against God, and his promise of forgiveness is available to us. And as a recipient of God's forgiveness, God expects us to offer forgiveness to others. As we say in the Lord's Prayer, "Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us." Yes, forgiveness doesn't remove or change the reality of the injustice or wrong. Forgiveness affirms the reality of that injustice or wrongdoing, but it positions it in its rightful place, in God's hands, to allow us to pursue life with God. But we can only develop the strength to extend forgiveness to others because we're recipients of constant forgiveness from God. Forgiveness then aims to free us to live with God the life he intended for us before we experienced injustice, injury, or wrong. The Apostle Paul reminds the Ephesians and us that in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. By the grace of God, you and I are promised forgiveness every time we repent. We never have to question whether or not we have been forgiven. Every drop of Jesus' blood proved God's commitment both to justice and forgiveness. By the powerful sacrifice of Jesus, we've received reconciliation to a holy God. The greatest accomplishment of God's continual forgiveness, because the exciting thing that Jesus came to give us is the gift of a new beginning with our loving Heavenly Father. Declaring forgiveness of sins has powerful effects. Like the paralyzed man in the story, many people are paralyzed by guilt and shame. Maybe that's you. If so, come to your Heavenly Father and confess and receive his forgiveness. For when we hear that we're forgiven, we can shake off the bindings that hold us, get up and walk again in a new and joyful way. So we, like the man in our reading, are forgiven, loved and free because of Jesus. And so let's pray. Life-giving, forgiving God, your Son Jesus challenged people to repent and turn again to follow you. That challenge, O God, is still relevant for us and for all people. Help us to turn again to you and be changed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you so much, Gail. We're just going to respond to that really powerful message of not only for ourselves and what we receive from God, that we are able to let go of the things that we have done, the brokenness that's within, as well as what happens to us, but also to respond by naming and letting go of the times that we have been the recipients of injustice and hurt. There will be an opportunity after the service to receive prayer, and maybe you need help in that process of letting go, and our prayer team would be honoured to stand alongside you. And you don't have to name particularly what it is, but you could just ask for prayer for where you're at. I'm going to lead us in some prayers, and when you hear me say, God, by your grace, would you respond by saying, forgive us? God, by your grace, forgive us. For the right roads we avoided travelling, and the kindly words we refused to share, for the false gods who received our worship, and the true selves we have starved of love. God, by your grace, forgive us. For the hidden hurts we have held too tightly, and the promises which we never kept, for the careless use of our time and money, and the lame excuses we should never have made. God, by your grace, forgive us. I'm going to do something a little different now, and I'm going to play a Teze song, Kyrie Eleison, God Have Mercy. And as you listen to these words wash over you, just lift up before him our world, our nation, our governments, our church, this church, our families, our loved one, ourselves, our mission partners, this week their MAF, Melissa Hall and the Food Bank. Friends, hear and believe the words of Jesus. Your sins are forgiven. Go in peace. At the end of each sentence of my next section of prayer, I'm going to say God in your love and then add a couple of words, and it would be wonderful if you could repeat that after me. God in your love, renew us. God in your love, renew us. For all that we should be and all that we can amend, God in your love, renew us. God in your love, renew us. For all you have in store for us and all you may demand of us, God in your love, prepare us. God in your love, prepare us. For the life of the world and the love of its people, God in your love, commit us. God in your love, commit us. I'm just going to play another song now. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. And again, just let these words wash over you. This is God's response to you.